Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today we have with us Signe Whitson. Signe is the Chief Operating Officer of the LSCI Institute. She is a certified school social work specialist, as well as an author and a national educator on bullying prevention, crisis intervention, and child and adolescent emotional and behavioral health. She is the author of 6 books, including The Angry Smile, The New Psychology of Passive-Aggressive Behavior at Home, at School, in Marriage, and Close Relationships, in the Workplace, and Online, co-written with Drs. Nicholas and Jody Long. Signe oversees the daily operations, training curricula, and continuing education activities for the LSCI Institute. Thank you so much for joining us today, Signe.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, this is such a great topic. I've been noticing that it's coming up a lot in the workplace right now, a lot about people being dissatisfied or frustrated with colleagues or bosses because of just this problem of passive-aggressive behavior. So how did you come to study this subject?
Well, working with the LSCI Institute, which you talked about in your introduction, we work with young people who have self-defeating patterns of behavior. And one of the things we kept noticing over and over was that adults really sort of knew what to do. They had a plan for how to respond when kids were out there with their anger, or if kids were very sad when they expressed themselves. But what seemed to frustrate adults the most and just bring adults to sort of the end of their coping resources was how to deal with a young person who expressed their anger in these hidden, covert ways, which led us to an understanding of what passive-aggressive behavior is. And from there, we went on to realize this isn't just about kids. This is a chronic pattern that extends into adulthood and into the workplace.
That's a great point that you raise about some of the other ways where if it's overt anger or upset, or if it's somebody that it's very clear what the what's going on emotionally for somebody, you at least know what you're dealing with. But if somebody is unwilling or unable to express themselves in a way that's meaningful, then I could see that that would create a lot of unnecessary upset, both personally and professionally.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the real hitch with passive-aggressive behavior is that people who behave this way are really invested in hiding their anger. And so in the workplace, a coworker or an employee may sense that the person is frustrated and may try to approach them directly and say, you know, are you mad? Are you upset? Has something gone wrong? And the passive aggressive person will deny it verbally, but they will show it behaviorally.
Yeah, I see that happen a lot. I remember there was somebody about a year or two ago that I was having a conversation with. And to me, all indicators, and we'll have to talk about what some of the indicators and symptoms are of passive behavior, passive-aggressive behavior. For me, this person seemed to be exhibiting those qualities and characteristics. And when I said, hey, you know, maybe perhaps this could be passive-aggressive, and what if you expressed yourself, the person got very reactive and upset and started defending all the reasons they weren't passive-aggressive. Is that something that you see happen a lot?
That's something that we predict, in fact. You know, for a person that's, this is their chronic style, you know, since childhood, they fear anger, or they fear directly expressing their anger, I should say. And so they've got all of these behavior patterns built up so that they can take anger out on other people, but not have to express it directly. And we know that when they're confronted, their instinctual response will be to deny that they did anything, to deny that they're angry, and in fact, often to cast themselves in the role of the victim. You know, why are you being so sensitive? Why, how could you dare say that I'm angry?
Wow. So let's look at what is passive aggressive behavior, just so we can make sure we're all on the same page about this. With this particular individual that I was looking at, I specifically brought up to this person, we researched it, we just went to some online websites, and we were able to identify, and then this particular individual said, wow, oh my gosh, I could kind of see this. So tell me from your clinical perception of what is passive aggressive behavior to you.
So we define passive aggression as a deliberate and but also a masked way of expressing covert feelings of anger. And it really does involve a variety of behaviors that are all designed to get back at another person, but without the other person immediately recognizing the anger. We know that people who behave passive aggressively really fear the direct confrontation. So they do all of these sort of behind the scenes things to sort of provoke another person to act out the anger that they are harboring.
Okay. And so what are some of the common symptoms or the things that you can tell if you're dealing with somebody who is specifically passive aggressive and not coming from another stance or perspective?
Oh, there's so many things. I could give you a laundry list. And in our book, The Angry Smile, we do try to categorize them. But passive-aggressive behavior can be as simple as denying that you're even angry in the first place, but coupling that with withdrawal or sulking or using terms like fine and whatever to shut down a conversation. In the workplace, it looks a lot like avoiding responsibility for tasks, you know, taking a long time, you know, much longer than others to complete work, missing deadlines, withholding information. Unfortunately, online communication just makes, you know, is the perfect vehicle for the passive-aggressive person to sort of muddle their message. And we know in a workplace that so much is communicated through emails and through messages or voicemails instead of person-to-person. So the workplace is really, you know, it's ripe for passive-aggressive behavior, and we see it a lot.
So now that we understand what passive-aggressive behavior is and what some of the symptoms are, if, say, one of our listeners is in an office setting and, let's call her Susan, is sitting to her right or left, and that person, Susan, happens to be exhibiting these symptoms, what would be an empowering way that this individual could approach Susan such that it doesn't cause mass disruption for both people in the workplace and unnecessary upset?
Right. Well, I want to start off by saying that in The Angry Smile, we outline a whole six-step process. And I won't give you that whole thing right now, but I want to give you two important pieces of it. The first one is that, you know, the first thing we have to do is control our own behaviors and our own responses. Before we can change anybody else, we have to change what we're doing. The passive-aggressive person wants us to act out their anger for them. They want to frustrate us. That's why we call the book The Angry Smile, because we know the passive-aggressive person gets some pleasure in frustrating us. So the very first empowering move is for us to be educated and to recognize passive-aggressive behavior quickly so that we know what we're dealing with and we avoid these sort of reinforcing responses.
Okay.
The second is that if passive-aggressive behavior is all about indirect communication, the sort of antidote or the empowering way to deal with it is through assertiveness. Just being very open and honest and direct in your communication with the passive-aggressive person. You know, consistently, when you see these sort of acts of sugar-coated hostility from them, confronting them in a, we call it benign confrontation, because it's not like an in-your-face angry confrontation. Otherwise, they've gotten their goal accomplished. They've made you mad. It's a very calm, assertive, it seems that you may be angry right now. I'm just wondering if something has upset you. And again, we know that the person is going to deny that initially, but we also know that we bring about a change in the relationship just by acknowledging that we see what's going on, we understand the dynamic, and we recognize the anger that is underlying their behaviors, whether it's missing the deadlines, calling in sick excessively, you know, sort of publicly calling someone out in the meeting, you know, all those different ways that passive-aggressive behavior shows up in the workplace.
Okay, so could we role play this a little bit? Because I know I've seen it on my end many occasions with the temps that we work with, as well as with job seekers that we're working with, and even in my own team from time to time. So I would love to role play perhaps a situation for with you on air. That way people can have an idea rather than just having a hypothetical of understanding what to do if you're in a real life situation.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, awesome. So I'm going to be the passive-aggressive person, and you can be, let's see here, my colleague who is empowered and knows the right tools and obviously has read your book, The Angry Smile, and knows how to handle somebody who's passive-aggressive. So I am sitting at my desk, and I am sulking, and I am ignoring you. So how? What would be the first way that you would initiate or engage with me?
So if I didn't know that you were ignoring me, to begin with, I might, say, hey, I don't know, what are we role playing here? Hey, I've got this project that I want to ask you to work on. Can we talk? And maybe if that was the thing that you wanted to ignore me about, and if I didn't get a response from you, I'd probably ask a second time, hey, Jennifer, there's this project. I'd like to get your help on it. Can we talk?
I've got it handled.
And if you ignored me...
If I said, handled? So theoretically, let's say you've approached me twice and I say, no, I've got it handled. Don't worry. It's my problem, not yours.
Okay, that's fantastic. I'm really glad to see that you've got it handled. So our boss asked me to work on it also. So I'm going to need to make sure that, you and I are communicating. But why don't you work on it today, and at the end of the day, let's meet up at 4:00 and let's make sure that we have a quick 10-minute conversation so that we can go over what you've accomplished today. How does that sound?
It sounds like you want me to report to you now. I'm not so into that. Jim is my boss, not you. I report to Jim.
You are definitely right. Jen is your boss, not me. However, she's asked me to work on this also. So I need to make sure that you and I are in on this together. So if you don't want to meet with me at 4 to go over this, what would a different solution be that would work for you also?
What if I just do the project on my own and I'll sign your name to it at the end?
That actually sounds terrific. I've got so much on my plate right now. I would love to have to just be able to take this off my plate. But unfortunately, this job's important to me. I like to make sure that the things that have my name on it are things that I've actually contributed to. So how about this? We either meet and work on this together, or I can go to Jen and I can tell her that you are going to take full responsibility and I will have her take my name off of the project. How does that work?
Brilliant. I love that. That I could see where you no matter where I was directing it and telling you no or saying I don't know or I might not, then you just kept giving me more solutions until finally, I love that last option because you're saying, hey, if you want to be fully responsible, somebody who's passive aggressive, they might be doing that in an underhanded sort of way, but now you're really putting the onus on them and they have that opportunity to either step up or take the whole project on.
Absolutely. I think really the key in the workplace is being crystal clear with expectations, with deadlines, and doing it in a not in a sarcastic way, but again, it's going to let the passive-aggressive person know that they've sort of got to you, but just in an all-business assertive way, sort of box the other person in so that they cannot manipulate you anymore.
Interesting. So when you say they cannot manipulate you, is that a trademark characteristic of people who are passive-aggressive? Is it a manipulative tactic then?
So, as a clinician, one of the things I always think is that manipulation is really about a person getting their needs met. And I try to sort of reframe it so it's not always just an awful thing. But the need of the passive-aggressive person is to continue to mask their anger and not to have to address it with someone. This coworker of mine is clearly angry but doesn't want to tell me. So she's doing all these things to get out of working with me. That's her manipulation. And my job is to sort of box her into a corner so that she can't continue to do that. It's not that I don't want her to get her needs met. I just don't want myself to be a victim of her getting you know, I don't want her to get her needs met at my expense.
Got it. And what if this person hypothetically then goes behind somebody's back and goes to the boss, Jen, and says that, you know what, Cigna really wasn't holding up her end of the bargain on this, and she wasn't a good team player, so I'm requesting that she be taken off the project, because that strikes me as something perhaps a passive-aggressive person might do. How would you then do that if this person, say me in that case, I went to the boss and circumvented you to really, you know, kind of stick it to you? How would you then handle it once it's already been escalated to upper management?
Yeah, that is a terrific question. So one of the other pieces of advice that I always give is leave a paper trail in your interactions with the passive-aggressive person. Hmm. You know, if the two of you have agreed on something face-to-face, follow it up in an email, outline what you agreed upon. And if it's something like, you know, we've decided that you're going to work on the project and we'll take my name off of it, just make sure to get it in writing. If you know that someone is passive-aggressive and you know you're going to be working with them, you can sort of anticipate, you know what, I'm going to have to dot all my I's, I'm going to have to cross my T's, I'm going to have to be really precise with this person. But a lot of times, you know, the passive-aggressive person takes us by surprise. We don't anticipate the way that they're going to behave. So in those cases, you know, if this is the first time you've had this interaction, it's a lot of clear communication with your boss. Look, this is how it happened. You know, I know they've given you one version. I just want you to hear me out on my version of what happened. And moving forward, I will do everything I can to make sure that we don't have this miscommunication again.
Hmm. So it sounds like on your end, if you do have to go to upper management about it, to take full accountability for the breakdown in communication rather than falling into the drama triangle of blaming one another over and over. So it's just hero, victim, perpetrator all over.
Yeah. I just think in a workplace setting, an employer is going to respect the person who acknowledges their part of a mistake or, you know, when something goes wrong, and also has plan B for what they're going to do to prevent that mistake in the first place. And I think that goes a lot farther than just blaming somebody else. Remember, that passive aggressive person will, you know, they'll have a plan. If they think you threw them under the bus, they will have a plan to get their hidden revenge. So better to try to just be the assertive person who's doing things on the up and up.
Now, say hypothetically, like this individual I was referring to that I spoke with a year or two ago, who didn't realize that she was passive aggressive, and it was the furthest thing from her imagination until we actually went through a checklist of passive aggressive behaviors, and even then the person was reticent to acknowledge they were passive aggressive. It was only later. How could we look at ourselves, say we don't even know, maybe even me, for example. I would like to think I'm not passive aggressive, but there might be things I do that could be passive aggressive. Is there any sort of quiz in your book, The Angry Smile, or any sort of tools that you can offer to our listeners in case they might inadvertently not even realize they're the passive aggressive party?
Yeah, that's another great question, because I too have done different seminars in teaching the passive aggressive behavior, and invariably someone comes up to me afterward and says, oh my gosh, I was, you know, attending this seminar for a student I work with, or because I thought my husband was passive aggressive, but you know, I really recognize myself in this also. The truth is, I think all of us are passive aggressive here and there. I think the way we are socialized in sort of the Western culture is that we do sort of try to avoid confrontation, some of us more than others. And to some extent, there is a level of civility that comes from not wearing all of your emotions on your sleeve, you know, not always just wearing your anger right out there. So from time to time, I think all of us procrastinate, all of us delay other people, all of us, you know, sometimes try to get under someone's skin. The problem with passive aggression is not the occasional, not the situational passive aggression. It's when the person develops this just as a behavioral pattern.
Hmm.
And they interact with people like this sort of chronically. It's just their go-to method of interaction with other people. So for those passive aggressive people, yes, the angry smile has checklists. You know, yes, there's checklists for most behavioral styles and choices all over the internet, but that self-awareness piece, you know, when you stumble upon the right answer or what could be, you know, an answer and investigate it more, the self-awareness piece is the prerequisite for change.
So that you're saying that we all obviously have a little bits and pieces of passive aggressiveness just because from cultural standards, at least here in the United States, and that what we're really looking at is the people who regularly, it's their operating mechanism, their fallback is to go to that when they're upset or confronted or reactive. So the question being on our end, you or I, say we're not the type of person who's 99% of the time passive aggressive, is there any hope for you or I in dealing with a passive aggressive person long term that they're going to shift that modality, or is it forever innate in them and there's no capacity for change available? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. So I think our human brains are amazing. And when we have a pattern of behaving, a pattern of emotionally responding to other people that we've been using since childhood, it is deeply rooted in our brain. However, our amazing brains are malleable at almost any age. They can always change. And so if someone has the awareness that they've been using passive aggressive behavior and they're able to see that it has not enhanced their relationships, in fact, they have a trail of broken friendships and broken relationships at the office, and they have a desire to change, they absolutely can change their style. We all have choices when it comes to expressing our anger. You know, we can be aggressive, we can be very passive, we can be passive aggressive, or we can be assertive. And for the person who sees that their life has sort of gotten worse by relating to people with this facade, you know, truly this angry smile where they're not real with other people, they can certainly choose to adopt more assertive behaviors.
Okay, so let's say hypothetically, we might have a listener out there who is saying to his or herself, aha, oh my gosh, that explains why I have a lack of fulfillment in my personal or professional relationships, or like you said, that trail of broken relationships. What would be a couple of the first steps that somebody in acknowledging that they have been passive aggressive and use that as their operating mechanism, what are a couple of steps that they could take to transition that behavior from passive aggressive to an assertive, healthy behavior to get their needs met in a more empowering way?
Yeah. So a couple things. I think there are some simple, or if not simple, common communication techniques that people can use and practice. And one of them is a really effective tool, but I almost hesitate to say it because it's almost a cliche in psychology now, but that is using I messages. I messages are a great way of just saying in very plain, assertive, emotionally clear, direct terms what you're feeling. What you want another person to do, or even what you want another person to stop doing. So the passive-aggressive person has this habit, you know, this chronic way of being unclear with their feelings and their communication. I messages are a great way to help them take the first steps in just being more clear and more assertive.
So what would be...
That's one of the first things I would suggest.
Signe, I'm going to pause you for 1 second, just in case people aren't familiar with that cliche psychological term. What would be a good example of an I message if you're a person, or you're a passive-aggressive person who's not getting his or her needs met? What's a statement that you could say to start empowering yourself and others?
I feel angry when you ask me to do chores right when I'm getting home from work.
Got it.
I feel tired when I get home, and I'd like to have a little bit of time to rest first.
Perfect. Okay, great. I just want to make sure that was clear for everybody in case they weren't familiar with the I messages that you were referencing, because I think that's a great tool that people can utilize. What was the other one you were going to suggest?
Oh, I don't even know now. I was
I interrupted you.
Sort of,
so sorry.
Yeah, going with it.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the other step? I do know the other step I was going to say. So one of the tricky parts of practicing a new behavior is having a good partner to practice it on. So for the passive-aggressive person who is genuinely wanting to change, I think in their, you know, sort of first steps of using iMessages and trying to be more assertive, they really do need a partner, whether it's a spouse, a friend, a therapist, but they need someone that will be open to receiving their anger and that is not going to confirm their internal belief that anger is dangerous.
Mm.
So does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that
there are so many people in this world that, you know, they say, I feel angry when I walk in the door and the first thing that you ask me to do is chores. That's a reasonable assertive request. Now, if you have a partner that says, well, what do you mean? I'm tired when you get home, too. I've been working all day. You know, if you sort of get that feedback back that tells you, you know what, when I am assertive, when I am direct in expressing myself, I just lose out. My life does get worse. So I better go back to masking my anger again. Right. So there's this combination of the passive aggressive person needs to learn a new skill set, but they also need to practice them on someone that will be receptive to it. So while they're getting comfortable with this new way of communicating, they actually get the results that they need.
Yeah, I think that's great advice because I can see that even in my own life, if you try something new on and you get immediate resistance from whoever it might be, whether it's your boss in the office or your significant other at home or a family member, it kind of sours you on the whole experience and you throw in the towel and kind of give up on it before you've even started.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest barriers to change.
Is just practicing, would you say, once a day? Or what would be a good way to kind of set yourself up powerfully to practice? Would you say practice it once a day, once a week, an hour every day? What would be a good methodology to try on?
Oh, that's a great question. That probably depends on the person and you know, on the opportunity. I think a daily practice is much, much better than a weekly practice. I think the other thing that can happen, though, besides like a verbal practice that's really effective is written practice. So maybe a passive-aggressive person is going about their day, they catch themselves at home, and then they catch themselves at work, or then they catch themselves online, and they keep sort of behaving in this passive-aggressive way. Maybe they can't change it in the moment, but that night, take some time, use a journal, use just, you know, a little notebook, and reflect on, this is what I wish I would have said, and correct all those instances of passive-aggressive either wording or behavior. And pretty soon that kind of practice sort of really adds up to where you do say or do the right thing in the moment. And it doesn't have to be this reflection and afterthought.
I think that's a great piece of advice. Someone told me recently that we have this opportunity every day to just look at how could I have done today better? Even if you're not passive aggressive, I think that, like you said, we all have those moments where advertently or inadvertently, we might accidentally even do or say something passive aggressive. And I think it's a great practice for all of us as human beings just to bring mindfulness and awareness to it.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. And one more question for you that I had about this idea of passive aggressiveness. Is there any relationship or not to bullying and passive aggressiveness? And if so, what is that relationship?
Oh, yes. So I do a lot of work in the field of bullying prevention, and my entree into that field was directly through passive aggressive, behavior, studying it, working with people. So I think I mentioned earlier that in The Angry Smile, we categorize sort of five different levels of passive aggressive behavior. And they range from sort of the situational everyday to the more chronic and pathological. One of those levels we call hidden but conscious revenge.
Hmm.
And a lot of relational bullying, so not necessarily the physical or the verbal, but the stuff that happens between young people or adults that are typically, you know, they have a friendship or some kind of relationship, but they use that friendship as a weapon. You know, they withdraw friendship, they use the silent treatment, they exclude, they gossip and spread rumors to get other people angry at the person that they're angry at. those are all passive aggressive behaviors, and they are hallmarks of this relational bullying.
Wow. You wouldn't even think of it being correlated, but I guess it makes sense. It's kind of, I was going to make a bad joke about maybe passive aggressiveness being the gateway drug to bullying, but probably not an appropriate joke.
Well, whether it's an appropriate joke or not, it's very, very true. And unfortunately, we see this behavior more often in females than we do in males, not exclusively. But what we see when we study both passive aggression and bullying is that young girls are typically, or are more often socialized to believe that good girls don't get angry, or that anger is bad, it's not ladylike. But if anger's human, you know, it doesn't matter, it's not gender specific, it's human. But girls get the message that they have to hide their anger. But since it doesn't go away, they take it out on other people in these covert sort of relational ways.
Got it. So I think that the moral of the story in our interview today is that express yourself, learn to communicate in a way that empowers yourself and whoever it is that you're upset with. So when we're talking about anger and the angry smile, there's, you know, outright yelling at somebody and saying, Signa, you did this to me and you are a horrible person. And then there's the passive side of, no, I'm fine. No, nothing's going on. And then blowing up later down the road. And I think it's kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And you're saying, no, you have to be just right and use, like you said, the I statements and being clear on what your needs are and getting them met in a way that has you and the other people around you be empowered.
Yeah, I think the Goldilocks and the Three Bears analogy is a good one, because I often talk about these choices we have in expressing anger as a pendulum swing. And in general, if I'm working with someone who's very aggressive and I'm trying to help them become less aggressive, they sort of swing to be too passive for a while or too passive aggressive, and slowly they make their way toward this middle healthy ground, which is assertiveness. And same thing for people that are very passive or passive aggressive. When I want them to find their voice a little bit more, they often swing to a very aggressive tone first, and then make their way toward the middle, which is this healthy, honest, emotionally direct communication style we know of as assertiveness.
I think this is brilliant. I think you've given so many wonderful tools. I would definitely recommend The Angry Smile. And of course, I know you've written 5 other books on top of that to all of our listeners out there. So please, Signa, tell our listeners, where can they find more information about you on the book, where to buy it? That way people can get more information on passive aggressive behavior and how to handle it.
Yeah, yes, please. So all of the information about The Angry Smile and my books are on my website, which is www.signawhitson.com. And I know that's a tough one, so it's SignaWhitson.com. And then all of the books are also available on Amazon.com.
Fantastic. It's been wonderful to have you on the show. I know it opened my eyes up to how to more impactfully handle the passive-aggressive people in my own life. And like you said, just to always play with the concept that we have those little bits in ourselves that you spot it, you got it. So sometimes I've noticed when I notice other people being passive-aggressive, it might be because I was passive-aggressive that day, and it just brings to light, you know, the awareness around it. So it's so wonderful to have you on the show and to share this information with our listeners. And as always, if you missed any portion of this show, the full archive of this show will be available for download immediately following the show on the LA Talk Radio website under Get Yourself the Job. Or you can also find us on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes and listen to the full show or any prior shows you may have missed at your leisure. Please feel free to always rate us on iTunes or leave us any comments or feedback you may have. And also, you're welcome to interact with us on our Facebook Get Yourself the Job website. So tune in next week on LA Talk Radio at 4 p.m. as we interview Nicholas Wyman, talking about what to do when you're unemployed and what to do with the gaps in your resume. So thank you again, Signa, and I wish everybody out there a wonderful and safe rest of your week.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.